our last message together, and I just want to say how much I have enjoyed being with you. You've been absolutely tremendous, and it's very obvious that this conference has been much prayed for, and I really appreciate that. And I want you to know my husband has been on his knees praying for us. He called last night to make sure how I was doing. That's a good way to start. Crying before I get started. Your little booklet says that this is the God who, when God is enough. Title actually is Soaring to New Heights with the God who is enough. So let's pray one more time. Lord, quiet our hearts again, we pray. And speak to us in these closing moments. Lord, we've heard a lot. We've thought a lot. And probably we feel pretty full, not only physically, but spiritually. And so I just ask that you give us the capacity to receive one more word from you. And God, I ask that you would keep us awake, Father, and alert. And Lord, I pray that you would make me a suit of working clothes for the Spirit to wear. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. I imagine that most of you came to the conference with some expectations. Expectations as to what God might say to you, what you might learn, what help you might get. Maybe some of you came just plain tired. Tired physically, tired emotionally, tired mentally, tired spiritually. And you were looking for rest. Or maybe you came feeling like you've been in a spiritual desert. You were dry, you were hungry, you were thirsty to be fed by God. And it could be that you felt like you were just in a dark place where you couldn't see any light. And you were just looking for some direction for your life. And some of you probably came realizing that you'd made some dumb choices. And because of that, you feel like the devil's got you down and he's been telling you that you'll never be able to get up and you'll never be any different. You feel as if you're enslaved. You feel like you're a prisoner. And if we could look into each other's hearts today, I'm sure that we would probably find in some of them at least that there are storms raging that would sink every ship at sea. You feel tossed to and fro, and you feel like you're at your wit's end. Well, for whatever reason you came, I want to remind you that Psalm 46:1 says, "Our God is a very present help in times of trouble." And in these closing moments, I want to leave a psalm with you to meditate on in the days ahead. And I think that we'll find in this psalm, this one psalm, the answer to all of these possible distressing situations that I just mentioned. And we'll also find there El Shaddai, the God who is enough. That's the definition of El Shaddai, the God who is enough. The God who is sufficient. And remember that the El Shaddai of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. We'll also find there Jehovah Shema, the God who is there. In the New Testament, you'll remember that Jesus said, "I will not leave you nor abandon you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you." He's the one who said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He's the one who said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Where are you today in your pilgrimage of faith? I just want to tell you that wherever you are, God is there, and He is enough. Psalm 68, 19 and 20. Boy, I may have trouble getting through this one. Psalm 68, 19 and 20 speaks of God as being a God of rescuing and being the God who daily bears our burdens. So if you have your Bibles and want to, turn to me, with me to Psalm 107. And I'm going to start out by reading verses 3 through 9. This is a psalm that gives many different situations and what happened in each one with the God who is enough. Starting with verse 3, He brought the exiles back from the farthest corner of the earth. They were wandering, homeless in the desert, hungry, thirsty, and faint. Lord, help, they cried, and He did. He led them straight to safety and a place to live. Oh, that these men would praise the Lord for His loving kindness and for all His wonderful deeds. For He satisfies the thirsty soul and fills the hungry soul with good. Here we have people who are wandering in a desert. They don't feel like they belong anywhere. They lack direction in their life. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're weary of the journey. Is El Shaddai, the God who is enough, adequate to meet their needs? He was then and He is today, ladies. He's still the same today. I think sometimes when we read these stories in the Bible, we think of them as just being stories. Or we think of God as just working in that way at that time. But He is the same God today. To the wandering ones, He gives direction. The Word of God says in Isaiah 30:21, "And you shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way. Walk ye in it.' When you turn to the right hand or to the left." To those who have no home, He says, "I am your home. I am your refuge." The psalmist said, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." And again in the Psalms, "Thou hast been my stronghold and refuge in the day of my distress." Do you feel like you're going through a desert? Deserts can be very hot, which makes you parched and dry, but they also can be very cold. Whatever desert you find yourself in, maybe it's a desert of loneliness or a desert of depression or a desert of spiritual dryness and coldness. To you, the God who is enough promises streams and springs in the desert. He can turn the desert into a garden and into a place of growth instead of barrenness. Is your life bare today? God wants to make it blossom as a rose. He is the God who is enough. The Bible says, "And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." In another place in Isaiah, He says, "I will even make a roadway in the wilderness for my people and rivers in the desert." So if you're in a desert today, He's the one that can turn the desert into that place that blossoms like a rose. To the hungry and thirsty ones, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. He who comes to me will never hunger and thirst, and he who trusts in me will never thirst." And some of you today, I know, came to this conference not knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so you're hungry and thirsty for Him. And maybe before this weekend you didn't know who you were or what you were hungry and thirsty for. But I want to tell you that there is a part of you inside that can be satisfied with nothing less than Jesus Christ. And that hunger that you feel, that lack of fulfillment, is because Jesus is not there as your Savior and your Lord. And I want to invite you again today to make sure of your commitment to Christ before you even leave this place. The psalmist wrote, "The Lord Himself is my inheritance, my prize. He is my food, my drink, my highest joy." And if you're in the desert, I would just invite you to come home to El Shaddai, the God who is enough. Ruth Calkin wrote of one who had been wandering far away, excuse me, like the prodigal. Lord, with a crooked stick for a cane, I'm limping home. Mocked, maligned, stooped, and stupid. Soiled and shabby, I limp toward you. You could say I told you so. You could say, well, it's a little late. You could say, wait till I think it over. You could sweep me under the rug. We both know I deserve far less, but when I see the cross and the man who died there, suddenly I know I limp toward unfathomable love, and there is forgiveness rushing toward me. I don't ask for a banquet, Lord, nor do I need a gold ring. I am so hungry and so thirsty for you. Are you tired physically, emotionally, or spiritually? The psalmist said, my health fails, my spirits droop, yet God remains. He is the strength of my heart. This is Jehovah Shema, God who is there. This is El Shaddai, the God who is enough. Again he said, the Lord lifts up the fallen and those bent beneath their load. Do you feel bent beneath the load you've been carrying today? He is the one who lifts the fallen and the one bent beneath their load. Again, the psalmist says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the mighty, towering rock of safety. And Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. Have you looked at the yoke you're wearing? Perhaps it's one of your own making. Perhaps you're wearing somebody else's yoke. Jesus invites you to wear his, and he promises that it'll fit perfectly and that it'll bring you rest. The next scene in the psalm is in verses 10 to 22. And this says, who are these who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, crushed by misery and slavery? They rebelled against the Lord, scorning him who is the God above all gods. That is why he broke them with hard labor, and they fell, and none could help them rise again. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he rescued them. He led them from the darkness and the shadow of death and snapped their chains. Oh, that these men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness and for all his wonderful deeds. For he broke down their prison gates of brass and cut apart their iron bars. Others, the fools, were ill because of their sinful ways. Their appetites were gone and death was near. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he helped them and delivered them. He spoke, and they were healed, snatched from the door of death. Oh, that these men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness and for all his wonderful deeds. Let them tell him thank you as their sacrifice and sing about his glorious deeds. Here we have a picture of those who sit in darkness and deepest gloom, crushed by misery, slaves or prisoners due to their own rebellion against God. And in rebelling against God, ladies, we always lose. The way will be dark and difficult. As I mentioned earlier, light received bringeth light, but light rejected bringeth night. And maybe you're not rebelling, and yet you feel like you are sitting in darkness. And you don't see any way out. Well, God has a word for you too. Isaiah 50, verse 10 and 11 says, who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. So be encouraged. And remember, dear one, it's always darkest right before the dawn. Psalm 18 in the Living Bible has a beautiful portion about how the Lord comes to us on clouds of darkness, and then suddenly he bursts through with great sheds of light. To those of you who are a prisoner to your past, he offers you forgiveness today. To you who are slaves to your own desires, he offers deliverance. To you who feel you're in bondage, he offers freedom. He is the God who is enough. He says, for I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt with the intention that you be slaves no longer. I have broken your chains and I will cause you to walk with dignity. This is another Ruth Calkins. God, you are so good. When at last I called to you from my prison without exit, you did not exact from me a solemn promise to do better. You did not insist that I adhere to a set of rules to guarantee your acceptance of me. Nor did you say with frightening sternness, stand on your own two feet. Rather, with breathtaking simplicity, you unlocked prison doors. You invaded the very depths of me. You encompassed me with transforming love. On the very spot where I groped and grappled, you turned me about toward a rugged cross. You pointed me to an empty tomb. And then with a gentle urging, you said, your past is obliterated. Your future is secure. Just come home. Verse 17 to 20 that I read, we see the ultimate result of rebelling against God. These people can no longer eat, and they are near death. Because you see, rebellion affects every part of our body, every part of our minds, our spirits. When we are rebelling against God, it affects every part of us. But you know, even rebellious people are not beyond hope. Perhaps Satan has told you that at this point you're beyond hope. No. Psalm 32, 3 through 5 in the Living Bible says, there was a time when I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was. But my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. All day and all night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all of my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. So if you've been rebelling against the Lord, there's still hope for you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The God who is enough heard their cry and delivered them from their sins. The last scene is in verses 23 to 32. And then there are the sailors sailing the seven seas, plying trade routes of the world. They too observe the power of God in action. He calls to the storm winds. The waves rise high. Their ships are tossed to the heavens and sink again to the depths. The sailors cringe and tear. They reel and stagger like drunkards and are at their wits' end. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them. He calms the storm and stills the waves. What a blessing is that stillness as he brings them safely into harbor. Oh, that these men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness and for all his wonderful deeds. Here we have the storm toss, those that are tossed to and fro by the problems without and within. People who are in storms stagger to and fro and are at their wits' end. Can God calm the storm that rages within you today and the storms that rage about you? I've talked with enough of you this weekend to know that there are many who have storms in your life right now. But you know Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there, and El Shaddai, the God who is enough, can meet those needs and can calm the storm. It's the same Jesus that calmed the storms of the Sea of Galilee and settled them to a whisper, the Bible says. The psalmist in chapter 32, verse 7 says, you are my hiding place from every storm of life. And he alone is enough. I've encountered some storms in my life just like you have. And in each one I found that God is enough. When our second son was born, he had 3 tumors at birth. And when he was 5 days old, he had to have major surgery to remove these 3 tumors. And then we went through a very long, long week while they passed them from lab to lab to lab to try and determine whether they were malignant. And finally, they all came back with a report that they were benign. One of our boys is a hyperkinetic. I don't know if you know what that means. It means very hyperactive, and it also affects their small muscle control and their ability to sit and concentrate for any length of time. And it makes life very interesting through the years of growing up. We went through many storms with this child trying to help him. And he often has determined, as he has grown, to choose his own way more than God's way. And this, of course, has brought many hurts to our lives as well as to his. But we know God isn't finished with him yet, and the last chapter hasn't been written. And I can report to you today that God is at work in this son's life. And in this experience, this circumstance, we continue to experience that God is enough. Another one of our boys went through a very difficult time of depression when he was in junior high school. And this was so heartbreaking to us. We probably couldn't stand it. But God was enough for him and for us. And he brought him through it beautifully. And today he not only knows who he is, but he knows who God is. And he knows that God is enough for him. Can't see your notes when you cry. There have been many other crises, just like there have been in your lives. My husband had a life-threatening surgery. We've both gone through the death of both of our parents. And I know these are not unusual circumstances. All I'm trying to say is that God is enough. This is the first time I've given this message, and I may never give it again. I hope you notice that each one of these situations in Psalm 107, each little situation ended with this thought, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And I'm sure all of you who know him and have walked with him would join the psalmist in praising God for his loving kindness and for all his wonderful deeds as he has rescued us. Some of you are going through a storm right now. You're living in the midst of this kind of a situation right at this very moment. And I want to tell you, cry out to the one who is enough, El Shaddai. And perhaps the real question that we need to ask ourselves today is, do you believe that he is enough? Do you believe that he is there for you? Psalm 78:41 gives quite a warning. It says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And ladies, through our unbelief, we limit God. Don't limit him by your unbelief. And whatever your need is today, he is enough, and he is there. Whatever your situation is, don't give up. Don't quit. Maybe this little poem will be of help to some. This is not a Ruth Calkins poem. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but never quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, and every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won if he had just stuck it out. Stick to your task, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with one more blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. Horatius Bonar wrote a song called I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, and as I read the words to it, I thought, well, he has covered nearly every one of these situations that we've talked about. So I wanted to read that to you in closing. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one. Stoop and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. Where are you today in your walk of faith, your pilgrimage of faith? Are you wandering without any focus in your life? Are you hungry and thirsty? Are you weary? Are you walking in darkness? Are you a prisoner? Are you in a bad situation of your own making? Are you storm-tossed? Come to El Shaddai, the God who is enough, and to Jehovah Shema, the God who is there. And I trust that many of you already this weekend have found some answers to some of these problems that you have faced, and that you have found already that he is enough, whatever our need is in our lives. And someone has said, impression without expression leads to depression. So I would really encourage you in your small group to just pound down some stakes. What has God said to you this weekend? Has he spoken to you? Has he put his finger on a specific thing that needs to be taken care of or changed? Whatever he said to you, pound a stake down and say, yes, God, I will obey. I will trust you. I will obey. And I believe that you are enough. Lord Jesus, again, I commit the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together to you and ask that you would be glorified in every part of it. And Father, if anything has been of the flesh, I ask that you would erase it from their minds, and if it's been of you, that you would cause it to be indelibly written upon their hearts. And Father, I ask you now to help us to make the application of your word to our hearts today. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I just want to thank you again for the tremendous privilege of being with you all, and thank you for bearing with my tears.